Welcome to the Grace Story Podcast, where we introduce you to interesting people and their inspiring stories. From Grace professors, current students, and distinguished alumni, to special guests and speakers on our campus, you can meet new people and hear how they are impacting the world around them. This podcast is recorded and produced at Grace College and Seminary, located on the shores of Winona Lake in the great state of Indiana. This is the Grace Story Podcast. Today's guest is Pastor Kondo Simfukwe, preaching pastor at Mission Point Community Church here in Warsaw, where our family gets to enjoy attending each Sunday. Pastor Kondo was born in London, raised in Zambia, went to high school in Australia, and then later came to Grace for both his undergraduate and seminary degree. He, alongside of being a pastor, travels around the United States speaking at conferences and has also been a part, more recently, in the tennis circuit, which we want to talk a little bit about today. He is married to his wife, Melissa, a Grace alum and Hall of Famer, and they have five kids together. Kondo, welcome to the podcast.
Man, thank you so much for having me.
It's good to see you. I just haven't seen you in a couple months. It's been a while. You've been traveling. I've been traveling.
Yeah, we are very busy, but that cannot be an excuse. We've got to hang out.
We need to figure that out. So where have you been traveling recently? Where's life taken you?
Man, recently my wife got to be just incredible superhero holding down the fort. I was in Austin, Texas for a little bit, and then I flew over to Palm Springs, Indian Wells, desert area of California for a tournament there as well. So just warm weather. I mean, cold here, trying to find the warmth. And so Texas and California.
And this is what you're doing with the ATX Tour, with tennis. What are you doing? You're going to these tennis tournaments.
Yeah.
Like, what are you even doing and how did you get there?
Oh, good question. So these were two different tournaments. One was in Austin and one was in Indian Wells. And I love tennis. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I love the sport
of
tennis.
Did you grow up playing? I know you loved it in college. You grew up playing?
I did not grow up playing. Like, in Zambia, soccer was the big thing. Every kid plays soccer. Very few play tennis. Probably in Australia, I started to play tennis a little bit. Ended up loving the sport. Came to Grace. I actually want to go on record and say I played two seasons at Grace while I was in seminary with Coach Mike Grill. So
wow.
He gave me a shot. I played tennis. We found out my eligibility was not legit. So I would play exhibition matches like at the end of the court. I still won quite a few of them. But so, yeah, I've loved tennis for a very long time. And so I think that was kind of the start of it. And then I found out there was this massive tournament in Cincinnati. And I'm like, wait, Cincinnati is just like 4 hours away. So a friend and I started going to watch tennis in Cincinnati. Like, Roger Federer, the GOAT, my GOAT, was coming to the Midwest. And so we would go watch tennis for an entire week. And that's where I just met people, just talking, because I enjoy meeting people. And somebody suggested, like, you seem like you have the kind of personality that could help us with some things we need on court. So I'm like, Matt, let's try it, you know. And so gave that a shot and honestly fell in love with tennis from that vantage point. Best seats in the house, get to know the players, get to know people I'd never have an opportunity to meet. And one thing, by the grace of God, led to another. So that's the short version of
it. So when they come on the court, you sort of introduce them, then you're doing stuff throughout the match too, I assume?
No, I do very little throughout the match.
Okay.
But so the night before, I'll get a list of here's who's coming to your court tomorrow. So I'll actually take a little bit of time and I'll write up a little bio, just like you did just now.
Yeah.
Except these are much more impressive human beings. And so I'll just write up.
And just learning their names has to be.
The pronunciation of names,
yes,
is one of the biggest challenges. It really is. And so I'll write something up on them. And then the next day, it is my job to welcome the fans and to let them know here's who's coming to the court. And then when the players are getting ready to come, I'll introduce them onto the court one at a time. While they're warming up, I'll take a moment to say something about the one player, and then they'll cheer for that player. And then I'll introduce the other player, and then the fans will cheer for that player. And then they'll start the match. And I say nothing during the match, except if we have like commercials. I will step in and I'll do like a little read about things I don't always personally endorse, but you know, I may say something about them. End of the match, I'll interview the winner. We'll send off the learner and we will interview the winner on court and then get ready for the next match. And that's really the way a typical day will go. And those 12 hours can be pretty long.
I'm fascinated because, you know, you're a pastor by day.
Yeah.
And often, you know, when you're in the church world, like you can be just sequestered in the church world. But now you go to this completely different context where you're not even known as Pastor Kondo. What is that like to sort of have this sort of dual role of like, you know, pastor, preacher, teacher, leader here, and now on-court announcer here? Like, how do you, even in your mind, and how do you take this there? And
yeah.
What is that like?
Man, we could talk about that all day, legitimately, just from a variety of different perspectives. I mean, one of them being, I've lived in this relatively small town for a very long time, right? And so you start to wonder after a while, simple things like, is anything that I do, is anything that you do, you know, Dr. Flam, would it translate into the world outside of the church? Or is it like everybody knows you, you've been in this town, and so there's a level of comfort and nothing we do in the church translates outside of its walls? And so there's a little bit for me even of like, I was curious to know that. I was very curious to know. If no one knew anything about me, would some of the gifts God has given me translate outside the walls of the church? So that's one aspect of it for sure. But the other one is, man, mission. Like, yeah. Our church is so about what does it look like to show and share the love of Jesus Christ, and especially outside the walls of the church. So that question became huge for me. Like, is the stuff we talk about really real? And can we really live it? And I don't know that I expected that the Lord would give me opportunities to live that in a professional sporting world. And by the way, in that world, I've talked to people about church and they will say, now tell me again, what is church? And I'll explain to them. I'd say, oh, that's the one with two different ones. Like, one is like the Pope and one is like another kind of church. There is no knowledge of what the church is for the most part. And so, man, it's been beautiful to step in as a representation. People find out so much more about the church in the way I interact with them long before they have a clue what the words mean or what Christianity means. And I enjoy that, honestly. You know, I enjoy that quite a bit. But I love the fact that I get to live intentionally on a mission in a world where people, I don't care who you are. I don't know where you went to school. Small town, no, we don't know who you are. And it really becomes about, does Jesus translate? And do some of the gifts he gives his people in the church translate in the world out there? And so that's been a beautiful, I would say, beautiful part of the experience, for sure.
I think that's really neat too. You know, it's not just something you're preaching on Sunday to people who may work in secular environments and saying, hey, you go do this. It's now something you have the opportunity to experience and live out yourself. And so, you know, it's not just a Sunday thing. Now you get to live it out Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
Let me go back. You've talked a little bit about your upbringing. I want to dive back into that, and then we're going to come back to the speaking and opportunities. So, you know, I read your bio. You've lived like everywhere. Tell us a little bit just like your growing up years, and then how did you get to Grace College?
Woo.
In like 3 to 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's a necessary caveat. Grew up in Zambia.
Is that where you were born?
That's where my family's from. I was born in England.
Oh.
My dad happened to be going to school in England for like a short period of time. So I was born there, raised in Zambia, because that's where my family's from. That's where we lived. That's where my lineage, heritage, all of that is from Zambia. That's Simfukwe, Zambia, mm-hmm. you know. And then went to Australia for high school. Once again, somebody gave my dad a scholarship. He was a pastor. So I grew up as a pastor's kid. And at some point, he got a scholarship to go and study a little bit more, get a master's degree, 4 years in Australia. So he took the whole family. Just happened to be during my high school years. So that's why we were in Australia. And when that was done, we came back to Zambia for my senior year of high school. And then after that, lights turned off, like for us, because he got scholarships. So when the story is told, it almost sounds like, oh, your parents were very, you know, had lots of means and traveled a lot. I'm like, oh, no, we were a relatively poor family who happened to get a couple of incredible opportunities. So when high school was over, there was no options for school beyond high school unless somebody stepped in and helped. And so end of the day, the reason I feel this eternal indebtedness to Grace is Grace was generous. The reason I came to Grace was because in my massive quest for opportunity to go to school, man, Grace said, we'll help you do this. I mean, there were a number of different things and conditions, but end of the day, Grace made possible for me what our family just couldn't pull off. And so, man, I love this place, and I think always will for that reason.
Did you come in to study for the ministry? Was that something you knew, even starting your undergraduate?
No, I came in, and I think in a country like Zambia, there's almost a wealth in and of itself in having a post-high school education. So I think just the thought that I would be educated beyond high school felt like that was the door opener in and of itself. And so I don't know that I came with any specific thought about what would the degree be, because the fact that I had the degree would set me apart from the majority of people in our country. And so it was while I was here that the Lord started to stir and lead towards ministry. My dad was a pastor, so I was like, I want nothing to do with that life, you know. So definitely was more resistant about ministry than I was keen. But God opened incredible doors for me to be here. I knew I wanted to honor him. I knew I wanted to serve him. I knew I wanted to live for him. But no, ministry, that was a calling that shaped up here through chapel, being a student chaplain, you know, standing on stage here and facilitating a variety of things, and then serving in the local church here in our community. That's where, to me, the gifts became a little bit more affirmed and the calling became a little more clear. But I did not come in with that plan.
And then you did seminary, and I don't know that I know this answer. Did you do seminary, like, right away after your undergrad?
I did. I took maybe a semester off. There were a lot of dynamics, man. I mean, like, one of them was when I graduated from college, it's not like I could just sit around and be like, I'm going to do whatever. I had to work on campus because I was an international student. And I could not be out of school because my visa was a student visa. Yeah. And so for one semester, I did not go to school. I was kind of trying to save a little bit for seminary. But then now I got right back into the mix.
And you obviously found your Hall of Fame wife here.
Yes.
I like to mention that a lot because it
Please
embarrasses
do.
Her as
yes,
much as possible.
Very much so.
Her picture's up on the wall
yes.
in the MOCC. And then you've stayed here, which personally I've always found kind of amazing because I am sure with the gifts and abilities God has given you, there have been opportunities far and wide. So I'm interested to know, like, why? Why have you decided, like, this is our town, this is our place, this is where our family wants to invest in ministry?
Yeah. Man, there's a couple of different reasons for that. I would say one of them is, one of the obvious ones is, when we were in seminary, we had our son, Judah. And there's something about when you start to have kids and those kids start to interact with other kids and they start to, you know, dig in a little bit, that our kids felt like they were one of the key decision-making factors for our lives. That was one of the things. Maybe a bigger thing was, man, serving in a local church was so significant to us that we felt like you, man, you plant somewhere and you serve somewhere and you connect somewhere. And so we started to get pretty connected to the local church. And so even though there was no Starbucks at the time, there's still no Target, Chick-fil-A have refused to come to town. Like, even though those things were true, I think the church community became a huge anchor for us. I would say the biggest thing, honestly, was I can't remember who did it. I don't think it was Dr. Steve Grill, but somebody took me on a tour of Westminster, and they shared with me the spiritual history in this place. Hmm. And I'm like, I want to be a part of seeing God do something great in this town. In fact, there was this narrative that people would jump on trains and they would come from everywhere to Winona Lake, Indiana. And I'm like, Lord, let's run that back.
Hmm.
Like,
wow.
There's a spiritual heritage here that didn't require it to be a big city and massive stages. And I'm like, can anything great come out of Winona Lake? I'm like, it sure did. And there's something in me that has just always believed, right? I mean, let's be honest, the number one team in the country, right? Where from? Winona Lake.
That's like, right.
Right? Like, why not some massive place? So I'm still convinced some of the greatest things will come out of this little town. Like, so I think honestly, that's why I stay. I have no interest in, you know, going to Atlanta or going to, you know, some other massive city. Church, kids, and the spiritual heritage and what I believe God is still doing in this place.
And what a biblical thing. I think the greatest thing in human history came from a pretty small town.
Amen to that.
God can do big things from small places.
Exactly right.
Okay, so I'm going to fast forward through all of that and kind of get up to the last few years of life for you as you're rooted here, you're, you know, leading a church, preaching, and yet God has started to open up doors elsewhere. Mm-hmm. What doors has he opened, and what messages is he allowing you and stages is he allowing you to share far and wide about?
Yeah, I would say, you know, in the last 8 years or so, he called us into a journey of adopting. So our family, like yours, has been made whole through adoption. And man, we had no idea what that would entail, both the beauty and the challenges of that, but also the open doors because of that. And so in the process, the Lord just started to invite us. And interestingly, because we would be going to different venues to learn more about adoption, and then something would happen and we would end up sharing something and people would say, man, we'd love for you to share that maybe a little bit more. And so I think, man, the joy and the struggle of our adoption story is one that I think just ended up resonating with a lot of people. And so that's been one of the reasons I think I've stood in a variety of stages just sharing the story and convincing people this is the best life you could possibly live is to step into a calling God invites you into. And, you know, even though it carries a lot of heaviness, even though a lot of struggle, a lot of uncertainty. And so that's been, to me, I think one of the catalysts is just stepping into adoption and, you know, our family story. So for us, it's definitely been the story of Mission Point that, man, we believe Jesus calls us to be his light in the world, in the places where people are hurting the most. And then he called us to do that very thing in ways we did not expect.
That's right.
And so we've continued to share that with people in the world, you know, even as we're living it ourselves. And I think that's resonated. I would say also in the tennis world, there's just a lot of an opportunity to humanize superstars. And that's been, I think, something the Lord has given me a great opportunity to do, to talk about what makes them human, what makes them, you know, beautiful, what makes them broken, all of those things combined. And so I would say it's been just this incredible journey of a message that God continues to give, continues to open doors. And then you obviously every now and then you invite me to come to Grace and say some things in chapel, and I appreciate that.
I love that.
For sure.
You are one of the favorites of students to come and speak
in
chapel.
Hey, I'll take that.
And we will have you back as much as we can. So I it's neat to see how the Lord has used your passions, whether it's adoption, tennis, and now giving you larger stages to make his name known, even soccer more recently, right, with the Wrexham thing. Tell us a little bit about that, too.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. There was a friend that we worked together in the tennis world, not a believer, but just developed a relationship. And then out of nowhere said, hey, we are doing a number of events. This team, Wrexham from Wales, is coming to the U.S. and they're doing a tour. And we would love for you to come and be a host and MC for this event that they're putting on. And I'm like, who's Wrexham? And I started to look them up and the connection with, you know, Ryan Reynolds. And then, you know, they have this show that shows up on TV and realizing there's this crazy, beautiful story. And I love beautiful, intriguing, fascinating stories. And this one qualified, you know. And so that was just another door the Lord opened for me to go and interact with this team and meet some of those folks and develop relationships there, you know, as well. And, you know, by the time, you know, this shows up places, I got another call about the MLS All-Star game coming up in Columbus. And so it does feel like the soccer world is now opening up, which is fascinating because it's the sport I grew up playing.
Another passion.
Yeah. So I'm like, so now I'm trying to Google, like, will Messi be at the MLS soccer game, you know? It's the Lord has opened these incredible doors to be a representative of Jesus in these spaces I would never have expected, which is exactly what the heartbeat of our church is. And so I love the full circle nature of the whole thing.
As one of your, at least I consider myself one of your close friends,
amen.
I can say there is a genuineness to you. You hate talking about all these things and experiences that you've been able to have. There's an authenticity to you. Who you are on stage and what you talk about, you live out in your private life. And I get to be a part of that. You know, you dress cool and all that. I wish I had your drip, as the kids say. You are a true follower of Jesus, and he has given you open doors. One of my favorite communicators that I get to hear every Sunday, which is such a blessing to me and to my family. And I am thrilled for you with the doors God's opening up. And I think he's going to open up more and more opportunities and stages for you to share your story and, more importantly, to share his story. So if people are interested to know more about you, interested in sort of your speaking that you're doing, what's the best way to find and follow you?
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, the best way to find me is Mission Point. You know, that's, as you said, I mean, that's home. That's home church. That's where I am, you know, man serving and planted the majority of the time.
Yep.
You know, missionpoint.net, that's, you know, where we're at. And yeah, the Lord has definitely given an opportunity to serve outside of the walls of the church. And our church and our elders and our leadership have been incredible in saying, yep, do that. Right. And so I do have a website, condospeaks.com. And that feels awkward to say, but it is very true. And honestly, let me just say this. Part of the rationale for that is efficiency. Like, I started to realize, like, I have 12 different channels of communication and emails, and people now can DM you this way and send a message and send a text and Instagram. So it's like, we need to figure out a centralized place where if you want to have questions answered, you can just go there. And so condospeaks.com is, you know, the website. Condo Speaks is the Instagram handle. And that's kind of the place where I probably am most active with the ministry God has given me beyond the walls of the church.
I know you hate self-promotion, so I'm glad I could pull that out of you as much as possible. So thanks for sharing a little bit of your story. I know we could have gone for hours in depth, and I'm glad I get to do that on a personal basis. But thanks for coming, sharing some of what the Lord's doing in your heart.
Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for having me. And thank you and grace for, man, the role you all have played in the place I am. I'm not ever going to forget that or take that for granted. So, man, thanks for having me.
And thanks to all of you for listening to the Grace Story podcast today. Thanks to Avery and Rick for their work producing the podcast. And, of course, if you can do us a favor, like, comment, subscribe, share, wherever you got this from, we would be so grateful. If you have questions, comments, jokes you want to share with us, send those to podcast@grace.edu. And until next time, live your best Grace Story today.